go ahead and
I'd like to welcome everybody out this morning. It's good to have you all with us to the River Ridge Worship this morning. We do have a few guests in the audience. I would like to personally welcome each of you here. If you do have any questions about anything that is said or done, we encourage you to speak to one of the members here. We can see if there's something that we need to adjust, or if there's something that we can discuss together. So I do have a few announcements before we get into things this morning. I'm not aware of anybody in our local membership on the sick list this morning. We do want to remember Panday is over at Northwest, still dealing with cancer and everything associated with that. I think she should be headed down to Texas pretty soon if she hasn't already for her next round of chemotherapy, but I didn't hear any specific dates on that. We do have several members out of town. The Barkers are up in the Chicago area visiting some family. They'll be dropping their kids off at camp. Most of the Kasems are in Tennessee. We do still have some with us today. Samantha is in Indianapolis. Kelsey, TJ, and their daughters are supposedly heading back from Tennessee currently. They hope to be back with us this afternoon. Collins are out of town this morning. Tim will be flying out to California this afternoon for another week-long business trip, so we'll want to remember him as well. The Wednesday invitation will be handled by Andrew Nevins. I'm not aware of any meetings in the area. However, we will be meeting again this afternoon at 4 p.m., so if you are going to be in the area, we'll be happy to have you back with us at that time. As far as the order of worship today, Andrew Nevins was on the list for the opening prayer. Tony and James will be handling the communion today. Tim is our song leader. You'll see he had a 648 marked as his first selection. I would encourage you to be turning toward that if you haven't already. Chuck will be handling the preaching for us this morning. Mark Nevins is going to be wording our closing prayer. As far as just some other thoughts to share, we do want to remember the ladies' Bible class tomorrow at the Clark's house. And that Chuck and Tony will be on the radio this afternoon at 2 p.m. That's 98.5 FM, 10:40 a.m. 1400, sorry.
The World Bible, number 648, will sing all three verses. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead him in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell him how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible, the careless word.
gonna be number 707. That's the conclusion of all four verses. We'll ask Brother Andrew if he would to lead us in a word of prayer. 707.
To Christ be loyal and be true, His banner be unfurled, and borne aloft till His secure the conquest of the world. To Christ the Lord be true, for He will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true. To Christ be loyal and be true, He needs brave volunteers to stand against the powers of sin, move not by frowns or fears. To Christ the Lord be true, for He will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true. To Christ be loyal and be true, in noble service prove your faith and your fidelity, the fervor of your love. To Christ the Lord be true, for He will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true. To Christ be loyal and be true, and He will be your friend, defending and protecting you to life's triumphant end. To Christ the Lord be true, for He will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and so blessed to be here this morning, to give us another day to be able to have an opportunity to come to worship You in spirit and truth. How awesome it is to where we can come together as a congregation of this local church and to be able to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to build each other up. We're so thankful that we're able to go earlier this day to Bible studies, to study from Your Word. It is awesome to know that through these studies that we're able to have a better understanding of Your will, that with this morning that we're able to study about prayer and how important it is to have this relationship with You. We're so thankful to have this access to be able to communicate with You, to tell You about our cares and what's going on with our lives. We're so thankful that we have a God to be able to take care of us, both our physical and our spiritual needs, each and every day. That You never allow us to be overburdened, where we aren't able to handle situations and temptations. And that we know that through Your Word, that we're able to overcome anything that comes our way. We're so thankful that we have each other here to build each other up in such a way to where when troubles times come our way, that we can help each other in the best we can with our strengths, to help each other in our weaknesses. We all have a goal to where we want to be with You in Your presence for all eternity, to worship You. Help us to make strides each and every day to study from Your Word, to spread Your Word with others, to try and answer questions, to make a good defense through your word. And help us to continue to plant the seed, and we know that even if we may not be successful, that others may not hear, that they turn their hearts away from you, that we continue to have the heart to be determined to do our part. Help us to not lose sight, to not lose our faith, not to give up, but to help us to continue. We ask you that during this service, that everything that we are doing is well-pleasing according to your will, that at this present time that we are still tempted, help us to not to lose focus, to remember of the reasons why we're here. We are so thankful that Jesus came to this world to not only to give us an example and teachings of how to live a better life, but yet be that perfect sacrifice and to be able to allow us to have the right relationship with you. Help us to not take this for granted. Help us to not take his sacrifice for granted. Help us to not to so freely sin, because we know the importance and the price that was paid for ourselves. We know that it was up to us that we are not able to do so, that we will still be in our sins. We're so thankful for the forgiveness of sins and to be able to rely on you to help us each and every day. We ask you that those who have fallen away, those who have put their faith elsewhere, not putting their trust in you, please help to where they may realize that they need to return to you. Help us to be able to say something or do something by our examples to where they may realize that it's still not too late. Help us to continue on, not only with this service, but each day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to Psalm 299. Sing this song before the Lord's Supper is offered this morning. I stand amazed. 299. We'll sing all five verses. We'll only sing the chorus one time following the singing of the fifth verse. So we definitely should be amazed by the love that Jesus had for us, that he died for us while we were yet sinners. So we should think about these words and the amazement we should have as we sing this song, the undying love that Jesus had for us. 299.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. In pity angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, will be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
As
we gather around this table this morning in remembrance of our Lord and our Savior, I'd like to read Matthew in verse 27, starting verse 28. It says, "And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified." And in verse 50 it says, "And Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." This was done on our behalf because we are sinners. This is a thing that he suffered because of us. As we gather around this table this morning, we need to remember that it was done for us because of our sins. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Fathers, we gather around this table in remembrance of your Son and our Savior. We are thankful for the sacrifice that was made upon that cross for us. We pray as we partake this unleavened bread that we will reflect back upon that scene, and that we will partake of it in a manner well pleasing to thee. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pray. Our Heavenly Fathers, will continue to gather around this table in remembrance of your Son and our Savior. We are indeed thankful for the blood that was shed upon the cross for our remissions of sin. We pray that as we partake of this fruit of the vine, communion of thy Son's blood that was shed upon that cross, that we will reflect back upon that scene, and that we will remember the pain and suffering that was done on our behalf. Bless this fruit of the vine, those blessed are thou to take of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. That concludes the Lord's Supper this morning. Now we have an opportunity to lay by and store a portion of one which was prospered for the work here at River Ridge. For our guests, you're our honored guests. We're not here to solicit your funds. If you're willing to give, that is your decision. This is a work for the church here. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful for the opportunity to lay by and store this morning. We pray as we take what we have prospered in our heart that we will give cheerfully and willingly, knowing that all good things come from you. We pray for the work that is being done here at this place. We pray that the opportunity we have to give this morning, that this work will continue and be done in a way that's well pleasing to thee. We ask that you go with us now throughout this day, be our everybody and guest. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Turn to song number 321, If Jesus Goes With Me. We're saying the first, second, and fourth verses, and Chuck will bring us a lesson this morning. 321.
It may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Tis heaven to me, wherever I may be, if He is there. I count it a privilege here, His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go. Word of life, across the burning sunshine to those in sinful strife. And though it be my lot to bear my colors there, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, wherever if He is there. I count it a privilege here, His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. It is but mine to follow the leading of His word. But if to go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior, content anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, wherever I may be, if He is there. I count it a privilege here. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go.
Let's open up our Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, Romans the fourth chapter. In just a few minutes I'll be reading a passage from that chapter, Romans chapter 4. One of the many hours that we spend on the road, one of the things that keeps me awake is listening to talk radio. And there happened to be a program that was on, and the guy was religious, and so were the callers that called in. And they were talking about how that they believed in God. But one of the things that they were being philosophical about, and the host, the radio host, was struggling with, and that is the concept of evil. And he was asking listeners to call in and say, you know, where does evil come from? Really wanted to know where evil came from. And this really kind of ties into a little bit of the last sermon I preached before I left here, and that was, is atheism an option? People are struggling with all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, in our trip down, that was on my way up to Chicago, but on my way back from Canada, we actually had a guy being interviewed, how that he was a religious teacher and now is a self-proclaimed atheist. And he talked about what caused those sort of things. And there's a pattern that's going on up there. And the pattern is that people are not studying and people are not putting their faith in truth. Growing up and talking about people who believed in God but they really struggled with evil, well, they're gonna have a lot of problems trying to defend their faith if they don't come to grips of understanding what evil is and where it came from. If you're gonna sit there and say, I believe in heaven, and he says, I believe in God, but I don't believe in a punishment. Because really, who's responsible for evil? And that's what he wanted to get people getting philosophical about. Let's just have a conversation. People would call up and say, well, here's what I think, and here's what I'm thinking. I'm just sitting there going, you're not even thinking. You're not even thinking. And that's the problem with the sermon I did 2 weeks ago. It wasn't the problem with the sermon, but the problem I was bringing out in that lesson. Atheism is not an option because they're not thinking it through. We as God's people are thinkers. We challenge anybody, anywhere, at any time to find out what is right and what is wrong. But that leads us into today's discussion. Well, how do we know if there can be a wrong? And where does wrong come from? Folks, this is not rocket science. In Romans chapter 4, Paul teaching about this very thing, he says in verse 14, for those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made no effect. Now, we're going to discuss the book of Romans soon. We're going to go through that book, Lord willing, Sunday morning. And a lot of this whole book of Romans is the distinction between the old law and the new law. But he's making a point here in the next verse. Verse 15. He says, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Do you get that? Where there's no law, you can't have transgression. Take this school, for example. You come in here, if the kids are going crazy and ripping books and just beating up on each other, if there were no rules, you don't say these kids are doing anything wrong. The absence of law, you can't have violation. So we get that. We understand that. So the passage is really explaining the origin of evil. The origin of evil is coming from choice, and we'll talk about it in a moment. The Bible deals with that. So when you give a law, okay, I mean, we just need to picture this. When you are given a law, a rule, if you will, when you're given a rule, right off the bat, two choices. You either obey it or you disobey it. Well, how come? It's called free will. Do you understand? God made us that way. You talk about the origin of evil. Look, there is no evil in this world if there are no laws. But since there are laws, now you have a choice to obey it or disobey it. That's what we're talking about here. That's what the origin is all about. The idea that man has the ability to choose right from wrong. Now, if I go back to last week's sermon, we talk about atheism being an option. Look. In the animal kingdom, there are no rules in the animal kingdom. There's no evil in the animal kingdom. Oh, sharks are bad.
Dolphins are good. On the food chain, dolphins eat other fish. So you say, well, why would you say a shark is evil and a dolphin is good? But we say, well, there really is no good and bad when you're thinking about in the animal kingdom. It's just live and survive. I get that. I understand that. You get that, right? Because there are no rules. But with you and I, there are rules. And when there are laws, that means there can be violation of them. Go to Romans chapter 7. We pick it up in verse 7. Romans chapter 7 and in verse 7 beginning. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law has said, you shall not covet. But sin taking opportunity by the commandment. You see that? Sin took opportunity by the commandment. Now I know he's dealing with another subject altogether, the old law and the new law. But the premise is here. The premise is, as Paul's describing here, I wouldn't know covetousness was wrong unless it said thou shalt not covet. If there's no thou shalt not covet, covetousness is not wrong. Verse 8, but sin taking the opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire. See, that's what the guy wanted to philosophize about on the radio. He says, but where does that evil come from? Who's responsible for that evil? What are you talking about? You see, they're just bewildered about how people are just so evil in their thinking. Where did they get there? But he said, for apart from the law, sin was dead. Verse 9. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. We're going to have a great discussion when we get there in our study. It's when Paul was a child, by the way. It's a great passage, folks, that's going to remove the idea that we're born in sin. But anyway, look at verse 10. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Now, without being confusing here, folks, look, he's just basically saying, I became sinful because of the law that is holy, good, right, and just. But it produced in me what? Why did it produce that within you? Because you now have the choice to obey or disobey. That's all it is. Well, where does that come from? It comes from free will, folks. We have the ability to choose what is right and what is wrong in this world. I don't think there's an atheist out there to disagree with us on that one. You have the ability to choose what is right and what is wrong. But they don't want to say, well, something is wrong. You can't have it both ways, folks. You can't have laws without having some kind of consequence of doing the opposite, of rejecting that law. That's the problem they're running into. This is all about the mind, by the way, folks. Turn to the book of Philippians for just a moment. Just use this as an example. Philippians chapter 4, Paul said, finally, brethren, in verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. Our job in this world, and that's what's hard for you and I, is to keep this mind pure. U.S. parents, what are you doing? You're not watching this. You're not listening to this. You're not, you know, being around this. You want to shelter your kids as long as you can, don't you? You want them to remain innocent, don't you? That's what you want. That's lovely. They're pure and they're innocent. And God wants us to remain that way, that we don't have those thoughts. But you know what? We've been exposed to it. We're to try to control our thoughts. But that's a hard job. And he tells us here that we are to think on things that are lovely and just and pure. Man's thoughts, folks, will destroy him. That was the problem we read about back in the Old Testament. Let's go back to the book of Genesis quickly. Genesis, chapter 6. Now look at verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. It says that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, and the birds of the air, for I am sorry that I had made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Wait a second, where is this coming from? That's what people want to keep answering. They were thinking evil. But the point is, that was their choice. But they people want to think about it. That's what this was, TV host was trying to get us to do. But really, where does it come from? Where does a person start thinking bad things? Is your imagination? Your imagination. You can think all kinds of things, folks. And that's the point that he's making. Man's imagination can run wild. Man just has to think and do bad things. But where did the impure thoughts come from? That's really what I want us to see. People want to say, I blame God. The atheist says, there's evil in this world. God created evil. Therefore, that is ridiculous. I don't want anything to do with it. I got to deal with that, with me. Yeah, I want to teach other people, but I have to deal with this. Chuck, come on. Where did evil come from? Where was it? What's the source of all of this? And the point is that man is the source. But God created man. Yes, that's true. Go to the book of Jude. I have not done this before, but I'm actually going to read the whole book of Jude. Now, it's only 25 verses, but I want us to notice as we're reading through the book of Jude, and open up your Bibles, because I want you to notice what the writer mentions about man, mentions about God, mentions about evil and the source of it, and what happens. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Christ Jesus, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was for once for all delivered to the saints. What is the faith? That gospel, the good news, the doctrine of Christ. Contend for it. Hold on to it. It's going to save you. From what? Your sins, obviously. Verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. They turned. Did you get this? God did not make them this way. Predetermined. You see, that is where Calvinism is out of hand, because their idea is that God is responsible for everything. God's not responsible for my evil thoughts. God's not responsible for sin. Well, they say, yeah, well, if God didn't give the law, don't covet, then covetousness wouldn't have been wrong. That's true. But try to get a child here to get away with that with their parents. I told you to clean your room. Well, if you didn't tell me to clean my room, I wouldn't be in trouble. Oh, right. It's my fault. It's not going to work there, and it's not going to work with God. It's not going to work with God. God, look, I created you. I've given you the choice. You can do right or you can do wrong. These people turn the grace of God, of our God, into licentiousness. Well, how could they do that? They want to know, where did that come from? Where did it come from, that desire to be ungodly? Where does it have with you and me? We're good people, right? We want to do what's right, but we're not perfect. Where does it come from, Chuck? I told a lie. I didn't want to tell it. What? Then don't. Well, where did it come from? You see, Augustine and Calvin, they want to say, you were born in sin. That's why. You were born depraved. That's their answer to it all. You want to know the source of evil? And no wonder people are turning to atheism. They're going, well, that's just dumb. That doesn't even make any sense. And I'm on their side. the answer. That's not logical. And that's what we're telling people. And people are falling away. And this guy that on it would have been Friday coming back, you know, the self-proclaimed atheist, you know, and he's, you know, he used to be a minister and a pastor. And he's being interviewed. You know, I wonder when they're going to interview somebody who was an atheist but now is following the truth. Do you think they're going to get an interview? No, they're not going to get an interview. But they like the idea of interviewing somebody who's now an atheist and wants to know why. And this guy's talking about his struggles with the Word of God. And I'm sitting there going, there was an answer for that. But you don't have the answers. No wonder you went to the atheist. That'll happen to you and that'll happen to me if we don't think it through. Now look what else he went on to say. Look in verse 5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Guys, remember Jude, okay? Just remember the book of Jude. When somebody wants to get into this philosophical discussion about the origin of evil and sin, take them to Jude. What's this telling me? I'm telling you, what it's telling me is they want to put God in a no-win situation. God creates man with free will. Oh, great. Now man's going to choose to do wrong. Okay, I'll make them a robot so they won't have a choice. And they'll just do whatever they're programmed to do. Well, what's that? Who wants to be a robot? God didn't create you as a robot. God says, you have free will. I'm going to create you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to come back to Jude, but I'm right back here in Genesis, so it's easy for me to read this one verse. Remember Genesis 1:31? It says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. God made you good. That's one of the great things about teaching the gospel to anybody. Anybody that comes in this place, I don't care what their background is, I can tell them, God made you good. Oh, you don't know about my genes. You don't know about the family that I've come from. Look, you were brought into this world pure and holy. You're wonderful. What happened was, when you got older, you decided to choose to disobey God. Where did that come from? That came from a free will. Your desire to do. We're trying to do what the will of the Father is. But you did decide to do what you wanted to do. We all were there at one time. And we struggle with that every day. We discussed that in our study about prayer. Pray, we pray. We studied in Matthew 6, lead us not into temptation. I don't want to give into temptation. So where does that come from? Everybody wants to blame somebody. Let's blame God. What I learned from this passage in Jude, verse 6, the angels who did not keep their proper domain. What does that mean, guys? It's the same thing with you. We didn't keep our proper domain. What do you mean? Well, God made me pure and holy. But what happened? I left it. That's called redemption, remember? You can't be redeemed if you're born in sin. You heard me right. You can't be redeemed if you're born in sin. Because if you're born in sin, you're always in sin. And redeem means to come back. How can you come back to a place you've never been? You can't be redeemed if you're born in sin. So that's just ridiculous. But see, the religious realm doesn't understand that, and they're losing people, and they're going to atheists. Some of our own brethren, and I've told you about that, I'm going to go study with him, trying to set a class up with him. His parents are all upset. And I understand. How would you feel? You raised a son, you got grandkids, how would you feel? If this son of yours who was up there leading songs and prayers and been growing in all these years, and then one day just said, I don't believe in God anymore. Be devastating. But there's a reason for it, is the one I want you to see. What's the source of it? The source is us. Free will. We get to choose to do whatever we want. Now look what he went on to say in verse 7. Not only did he talk about those people who left their proper domain, he said just like those in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner of these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh and set forth an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal life. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, rejecting authorities and speaking evil of dignitaries. Where does all this come from? Folks, there's stuff that goes on in this world. You might say to yourself, I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know what goes on out there. Isn't there some terrible, terrible stuff going on in this world? I mean, people will steal children and use them for terrible things. Pedophiles that's out there. I mean, I know you and I sit there and think, who has a mind like that? Who is so disgusting and caught up in the muck and mire? Who's responsible for that? Where did it come from? Mind your mind. Man thinks about stuff. Man wants to do stuff. I don't see people getting up in arms out there going, how did they invent that great invention? Where did that come from? Who's responsible for that? That's terrible. No. People invent stuff all the time, right? You guys, I'm sure you sat on TV and go, what did I think of that? You know, we look at that and that was just a simple invention. I could be a millionaire today if I just thought of that. The Snuggie, I could have made. You know, the thing is, people think of stuff in a positive area. People can think of stuff in a negative. Sodom and Gomorrah. And so nothing should surprise us today of how bad things are going. When people start talking about, well, where does evil come from? Evil comes from the idea that God created man with rules. Here's what I want you to do. But he gave man the ability to choose to obey or disobey. It's only called evil because God said so. You move God out of the equation, it's not evil, because if you move God, then you remove this, right? And you know, that's what you want. You remove God, you remove this. And if you remove this, then there is no evil. But see, here's the problem that this talk show host, I wish I could have called him, says, if you're going to remove evil, then you better remove good. Who decides what's good? You see, you can't have it without a contrast. The teeter-totter, right? Up, down, right? So you got good, you got bad. You got the opposite. You got disobedience. And to sit back and say, well, I don't like the idea of punishment. That's what he kept saying to Steve. I don't like the idea of that. Well, that's a natural outcome that we've been reading here in the book of Jude. He said in verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. That'll suffice. I don't have to read any more of the book. But that, I love that verse in the sense where he says, here are these people, they speak evil whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like Bruce, these things they have corrupted themselves. It's all about them. They've done it. They've decided. They chose to do that. Where does this evil come from? Folks, I don't want you to do this. But just like people can invent things and make money and make a living that can help other people, you can invent terrible things. Your imagination, you can just have a debased mind that he talked about in Romans chapter 1. I like that. Let me just quickly go over there. It popped into my head. Could be a bad thing. But Romans chapter 1. Okay, here it is. That's it. Remember verse 22? He says, professing to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man and bird and four-footed beast and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, dishonoring their bodies among themselves. You know, what we have is that when God gives these people over to a debased mind, when you want to reject truth, God, go ahead. Sky's the limit. You can do whatever you want, and we're seeing it today, folks. But you want to talk about the origin of evil? God's not responsible for it. You say, well, yes, Chuck, he has to be responsible for it. What God did is he created man with laws. That's all. And he gave them the choice. Free will. You can obey or disobey. That's all what it comes down to. And that hasn't changed for you and for me. The problem, the rub, is accountability. The accountability. So you say it's evil. You know the real problem that people have, and it came up on the radio program? Hell. It's a problem that a lot of people face, and that is, Chuck, I just don't see where the punishment fits the crime. I don't get that. Do you think somebody, if they go into a store and steal something, gets 10 years in prison? Do you think it's fair for that to happen? Yet here's a man who attacks a woman over here, and he gets 7 years. Do you think that's fair? Now, you could debate that all you want as far as the punishment. Does it fit the crime? But then you find out that the guy has been stealing for 10 years. And he constantly gets warning after warning after warning. Gets 1 year, then 2 years. He just won't stop. But that doesn't matter. The point I'm trying to get us to see is that we struggle sometimes with the punishment fitting the crime. What does a person deserve? And how many times have you ever uttered, I'm glad I'm not the judge? You know, when it comes to salvation, we need to understand that Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. We need to understand how bad, how serious sin is. That's what we struggle with. And of course, that's what causes other people to abandon their faith, to become an atheist, because they really struggle with the consequences of sin. Isaiah 59, your sins have separated you between you and your God. They struggle with this. But folks, they're going to struggle with a lot more things if you remove God out of the picture. And that was 2 weeks ago, sir. Atheism is not an option. Because if you remove God out of the picture, if you remove this out of the picture, then who decides what is right and what is wrong? You're right back to square one. You've got more problems than you had before. Way more problems. And that's what I want to bring up when I get into a discussion and study with this person. Removing God out of the picture makes matters worse. You want to know the difference between man and God? This might surprise you. Go to Jeremiah quickly. Our time's just about up, and I don't have much left to say. But go to the book of Jeremiah for a moment. We're going to go to the 19th chapter. This is one of those passages you can underline in your Bible, which is really cool to remember. Jeremiah 19, look at verse 1 as he describes the people of God and what they've done. He says, thus says the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen flask and take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests and go up to the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words I tell you. And say, here's what I want you to say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring such a catastrophe on this place that whoever hears of it, his ears will tingle, because they have forsaken me and made this an alien place, because they have burned incense in it to other gods whom neither they, their fathers, nor the kings of Judah have known, and filled this place with the blood of innocents. Now look at verse 5. They have also built the high places of Baal, burned their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come into my mind. What? Man is smarter than God? Man knows things that God didn't even think of? You see, this is the difference. Man had become so bad, we're going to offer our children to these gods. I didn't ask him. That didn't even enter my mind. So where did the source of evil come from? The mind of man. Man thought of it, and man did. Man doesn't like that, though. That's what this whole TV host was. But where does it come from? I want to know. It doesn't seem right. See, right there, you're trying to reason in an unreasonable way. What do you mean it doesn't seem right? Who decides what right is? If you move God out of the picture, oh, but he believes in God. Well, then, if you believe in God, stick with him. Understand what he says about this, and understand that you have free will. That's why we will never strap on a bomb in Newburgh to try to get the attention of the religious realm to let them know that we're teaching the truth here. We're not going to do that. We're not going to force people. We tell people, there's the door. If you want the truth, we'll preach it. You want to know the source of evil? It's you. It's me. Of rejecting God. We have sinned. Now the good news. Jesus came. Jesus died. And it's still your choice whether to obey him or not. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and have not obeyed the gospel. Now the punishment is there, yes. But there is forgiveness. There is a promise. There is a reward. Heaven is there for you if you choose to obey him. Now you can choose not to. I know that. God says that. You can reject me. I'll send a strong delusion if you believe a lie, if that's what you want. You want the truth, folks. You can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Heaven can be yours. You make wrong choices, but there's forgiveness. And there is a great price that is paid so you can have the forgiveness of sin. You don't have to tell me how easy it is to be evil, to think the wrong thing and say the wrong thing. It is extremely easy. That's why we have forgiveness of sin. I am so thankful for the plan of salvation that is extended to everybody. He that heareth and believeth and is baptized and have their sins washed away. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you willing to repent, turn and follow him? That's what we're doing here. We're here not because we're perfect. We're here because we're not. You understand that? I'm a Christian not because I'm perfect, because I'm not perfect. And so I've got somebody to help me. I have the blood of Christ. And we can go through this life striving to do the will of the Father. And when we come up short, we can go to him. But to do it without him is foolishness. To blame something else on the evil other than me is foolishness. Let's be aware of the erroneous thinking that's out there, folks. Let's keep our thoughts right. And let's keep them pure. And let's do the will of God. Are you a child of God? You can become one this morning. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, you need to come back. Remember, it's always on the Lord's terms. We need to serve him. The choice is ours. But he has given us the choice. If you're subject in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Nor self and nor sin, is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Control, is thy heart right with God? Does each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
Together. You know, our heart, we talk about our heart a lot in Bible studies and all, but we all know it's our mind that guides our thoughts. And so, knowing that that's where evil is, we should pray for each other as we go out to the world and pray that when temptation is there, that we'll have the strength to overcome it. Let's pray for each other in those efforts. So, remember those who are away from us. Thank our visitors for being here. We welcome you back. Any other opportunity you have, come here and worship with us. So we'll meet again at 4 p.m. This afternoon if you have the opportunity to come back and worship with us. We'll now be led in our closing prayer.
Our God Almighty, as we approach Heavenly throne, this afternoon, this morning, Father, we are indeed thankful for this avenue of prayer to come to this place to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray, Father, that truth being taught that be applied to our lives to make those applications, to make us better individuals. We're so grateful, Father, for your plan of salvation that ultimately require that perfect sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. We pray we take that not for granted, nor the events around that cross. We pray, Father, that as we go out to our respective communities, that we do so in a way to glorify Thee and our word and conduct, to be ready to defend Thy word to any of those that have asked any questions about our faith. We pray we have the confidence and the courage to do so, Father, so that we may sow the seed and to water and give the increase up to Thee. We pray it be Thy will, Father, for those that are away from us. It be our desire that they may return, if it's Thy will, to be an encouragement to us and also continue fellow labor in Thy kingdom in this locality. Be with us all, Father, in Christ's most holy name. Amen.